OPM Director John Berry is looking to settle the debate once and for all, he hopes, on federal salaries. He's asked federal and outside experts to come up with a formula for comparing pay in the public and private sectors. Berry's move comes after press accounts claiming that feds earn higher average salaries than their counterparts outside of government. And Jason Miller joins us in just a few moments with details on that story.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates urging Congress to approve the fiscal 2010 supplemental spending bill by the 4th of July recess. Otherwise, the armed services would have to curtail operations affecting Afghanistan and Iraq. Gates was testifying to the Senate Appropriations Committee. Congress Daily reports that House Democrats are considering bypassing the Appropriations Committee markup of the supplemental spending bill and sending the measure straight to the floor. The Senate has passed a version already.
And the Air Force is planning to save millions by changing rate plans for its cell phone accounts. OMB Director Peter Orszag says the military service will choose new plans that better reflect each individual user's usage. The idea came from a federal employee in OMB's Save Awards program. That Fed said mobile plans for the Air Force often didn't fall in line with usage, and the swap could save more than $2 million a year.
Find these stories and more at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
And good morning to you. Thanks for making the Federal Drive part of your Thursday morning. Coming up later this hour, is Iran going to go for a nuclear weapon? Are they already making motions toward that end? We're going to talk with National Security Correspondent J.J. Green and analysis of the federal response to the oil spill in the Gulf. All of that just ahead later this hour.
But first, Office of Personnel Management Director John Berry says he's tired of the debate about whether federal employees are paid too much. Berry wants a widely accepted way to compare public and private sector salaries. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us live with details on what Berry is doing to develop that methodology and other human resources forms. Good morning, Jason. Great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
Okay, so what is OPM actually doing to figure out how federal employees compare to the private sector? We've heard a lot about this over the last few months. There seems to be a new provision every day trying to freeze or reduce federal pay. So what's going on?
So Berry obviously has been one of the most vocal supporters of federal employees, and it's to be expected. It's not surprising. He says the news reports and analysis are not based on a rational approach, and they need to be. So he wants to develop a new formula.
I have asked our statisticians, with BLS's statisticians, with OMB's statisticians, along with some neutral parties like the Administrative Conference of the United States, like the National Academy of Public Administration, to come together and see if we can rationally settle this. Because right now we have a little bit of, this is my formula, so everybody has their formula. So everybody's like, my formula is right, your formula is wrong. If people of goodwill come together and we really are genuine about this, we ought to be able to craft a formula that has credibility anywhere.
Now, Berry says the government has a credibility problem right now, or at least it has a perception problem. And in fact, just earlier this week, Senators Tom Coburn and Jim Thune offered amendments to the tax extenders legislation that would freeze the pay of federal employees and cap the number of federal employees throughout the government. And additionally, Thune's amendment also would attempt to collect back taxes from federal employees. And this is just one of several we've seen time and again, a lot of them by Senator Coburn, trying to say, hey, these employees are paid too much. Let's freeze that pay, and each time it seems to get beaten back, whether on the floor or it gets taken out of committee. But these attempts, it's a continuous attempt.
A pay freeze. So would it freeze all salaries for all employees? Would this only impact those in the general schedule? How would that work?
It would really only affect employees in the general schedule system, because SES employees, senior executive service employees, their pay seems to be already frozen in many regards. In fact, SES pay has been frozen for some time. And what now has happened is employees who are at the GS-15 Step 10 level are making more than the lowest level of pay at the SES level. Now, in fact, at this conference, I went to the Senior Executive Association's conference yesterday where Director Berry spoke, and one audience member asked him if the fact that the GS pay has surpassed some initial SES pay levels is hurting recruitment of executives. And Berry says the data doesn't show that yet, but he does realize it's a problem.
We're going to have to wrestle with this problem and deal with some separation at some point. Everyone is aware of this. Capitol Hill is aware of this. OMB is aware of this. We're aware of this. My hope is as we work with this broader issues with the senior executives, as we put together a package that my hope is this could, that can be one piece of it that can address that. Because over time, that is going to dramatically affect recruitment. And the data is starting, because this is, you know, relatively recent phenomenon, but there are indications, not enough that I would be willing to stand on and say, oh, you know, it's a disaster yet. And it is one that I think through this forum that we're working on now with the President's Management Council on other SES issues of reform that we can do, that we'll see if we can put that into the mix.
But Barry warns that, you know, this is tough economic times. You know, OMB's asked for a 5% decrease across all non-DOD VA agencies. So it's not going to be easy to get through Congress. And OPM, as Director Barry also said, they don't have the offsets to pay for the increase. So, in fact, this SES pay issue may not get addressed for some time. Now, another SES issue that the President's Management Council is looking at is ensuring managers have the proper tools and training to be successful. And this includes also getting rid of the qualification review boards to make final decisions on SES candidates. Now, this is something that has been a lot of people have been saying for some time, that's kind of worn out its welcome. It's missed its boat, if you will. It's enough already. Additionally, Barry says the office that he's creating to oversee the senior executive service is coming together, but it still does not have a leader.
We are standing up the office. It's been a little slower than I'd like because we've had a hard time finding the superstar that I want to find to lead it. We've had a competition. We've gotten a number of candidates, and I've been interviewing them. If I don't find them in this round, I'm going to start over because I feel it's too important a slot to just fill. And so my commitment to you is I want to find somebody who I can be really proud of, that you can be proud of, can be somebody who can be a real bridge builder and, you know, a defender of the interests of the senior executive.
And this morning we have our executive editor and intrepid reporter Jason Miller on the air with us today. Now, did Director Barry provide updates on anything else in federal human resources processes that we should know about?
Well, he did talk about the hiring reforms that were announced in May, saying the SESers are really the key, the linchpin to making this culture change happen. He says the SESers must take part in the interviewing of candidates and not just pass it off to the HR officials. He says too often, if you say you don't have time, it's part of the problem of not getting the best candidates in. Barry also talked about other hiring reforms he'll start focusing on.
Phase two of the hiring, and that is we are looking at how to make it easier for students to get into government, building on current programs and successes. And so there's a lot of work been going on about that, and there will be a lot more to come in the months ahead, as well as diversity. We've had a major team working across the government over about 65 people. Chris Griffin, my deputy, has been leading this. They've been meeting regularly. Each of you have probably had representatives in the room. It's been phenomenal. They've been working very hard. My hope is that they sort of get to a place where sort of over the course of the summer, maybe in the early fall, we'll be able to create a program that we can take to the president to recommend. So we're looking at new ways that we can encourage diversity in the federal government, how we can do better there, the same way with students.
Now, Barry also reiterated a lot of his other goals. For instance, the results-oriented work environment, or ROE pilot, that OPM is running. He says by next spring, Deloitte will provide a third-party independent evaluation of the program if you remember, the program gives employees the flexibility to work when they want and focus on meeting specific goals and not have to show up every day at 9 and work your 8 hours. And you can kind of create your own schedule to meet your needs, but as long as you get your work done. Barry also talked about the importance of hiring veterans and the veterans hiring initiative that's going on throughout government. And the fact, in the coming months, he will recommend goals for agencies in 2011 for increasing the number of veterans they hire. He'll do this through the President's Management Council as well. And finally, Barry mentioned the initiative Feds Feeds Families. And this actually goes all the way back to the beginning of our conversations about the perception problem that the government has in many ways. He says last year the government donated about 1 million pounds of food to area food banks. This is across the country. He says the goal this year is 1.2 million pounds. So they want a bit of a stretch goal. And he really asked the SESers to lead this effort, to make it fun, hold contests. You know, he said, you know, let's have a casual day, but only if you bring in some canned foods. And the goal here is to say, listen, this is what government employees give back to the public. This is, they don't just take, and it really is a good way to help improve the perception of the impact of federal employees.
You know, Jason, it strikes me that Mr. Barry has found himself in the position of being PR and marketing guy for the federal government and trying to increase not just increase the image and increase their reach, but to improve it.
I would agree, and in fact, I'd add also cheerleader there.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen him speak many times, Amy, I know that, and he is always energetic and excited, and in fact, he had this long speech to give yesterday, and he, in the middle of the first three sentences of his speech, said, you know what, Harry, and who the guy who wrote the speech, said, I'm not going to read this speech because I know you guys want to ask me questions, so let me just hit some highlights, and he was really good about getting specific areas that he thought were important to the SCSers, and I think he's trying to motivate these leaders, but also getting the word out outside of the government space as well.
And Jason, did you note anyone that might have said that perhaps he's on kind of a fine line there in trying to get a survey going or some methodology going to compare pay? Because if he has a preconceived notion that federal pay is lower, well, then it can't be considered an objective study. On the other hand, what would the response be if the methodology produced the fact that, yeah, feds are paid higher than their private sector counterparts?
Well, I think he realizes that the perception, again, that could be a conflict of interest. Oh, you're measuring your own salary, so of course you're going to be lower because that benefits you. And that's why I think he's bringing in third parties like NAPA, like the Administrative Conference of the U.S., to bring in those experts. And then, you know, people like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, I mean, their statisticians are not, you know, they're as you know, bipartisan, as independent as you'll get, because they really provide some really important statistics to help the country understand how it's growing or whether it's not growing. So I think he feels like that's maybe a concern, but he also is trying to do stuff to mitigate those concerns.
And can you just touch on the timeline for when we're going to see these formulas and when we might start seeing results from this, or are we taking the long view here?
I think we're looking long view right now. Director Barry did not provide any. We're going to hope, you know, he didn't give any kind of comment about, we hope to get this done in 6 months or a year. But I think he understands the perception problem, and I think, you know, he wants to get it done fairly quickly and start getting the word out and getting this formula out there so people can have an apples-to-apples view instead of, you know, as he said, you have your formula, I have my formula, and I'm right and you're wrong all the time, and
right,
that's the way it is.
All right, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. And, Jason, we have this online already, don't we?
Online for everyone to read and get more details, and on federalnewsradio.com.
All right, check it out. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Thanks.
My pleasure.